Good morning. I'm glad to see those of you who have made it, have made it. Well done. I think this little icy blast of winter has caught a lot of people unprepared. But you know, it is January. It's supposed to be cold. And this is great. And I bet Rod and Susan wish they were where they normally are at this time in this weather. Good to see you. All the way from Egypt. They had to get up early this morning to get here on time. Well done. Good to see you. Great to see everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day and to be here within the warmth of the fellowship amongst our friends and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Howard, I hand over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Turn your attention to the bulletin because we have quite a lot of announcements. First off, annual reports are in your mailboxes out in the foyer, and if you don't have a mailbox, there are spare copies sitting on the credenza by the side, so please help yourself to one. There's a bridal shower for Megan Helm, bride-elect of Justin Gill, on Sunday, January the 29th at 2 p.m. Next Sunday, family worship at 10, followed by potluck lunch. Then the food donations. These are to help local families. Now, is that still a current announcement, or is that one left over from...
No, that's still... That's
a current thing.
Yeah, it's out there now.
Okay, so can be placed in the tub in the foyer. Church membership. There, if you're interested in becoming a member of the church, please speak to Ian or one of the elders, and then at our anniversary service in February, we'll be receiving new members and transferring memberships from other churches into our church family. The annual general meeting will be Monday, January the 30th at 7:30 p.m. So in the old calendar, it used to say Tuesday, so note that that's changed to Monday, January the 30th. The family photo display is being updated. Bill Brandsma, Laurie Sheehan, Diana Satchwell, and Corrine Leask have taken on this task. They've got pictures that were taken last time around, but if you were not included in the directory, so that some of the directory pictures, or you wish to use a different picture than the one that was in the directory, please let Bill or the ladies, also it says Wilma Brandsma, not William Brandsma, so that was Wilma. And anyway, the ladies have those pictures and they'll get them up there. Thursday morning Bible study starts again on January the 12th, which has just gone, so presumably it will keep rolling over. Any questions about that, talk to Sandy Reed. And then Saturday, February the 11th, 7 o'clock, please plan to attend the dessert theatre production in lieu of our adult theme supper, and if you plan to attend, there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. Pat, were you going to add anything, or is that it for now?
No, that's everything. I'll just tell you that the name of the play is Let Him Sleep Until It's Time for His Funeral.
That's interesting. Thanks, Pat. And then finally, from our family, just want to thank everyone for their prayers and thoughts while Joe's mother was in hospital. She's out of intensive care. She's recovering on a medical ward and hopefully will be out of the hospital by the end of the week. So tremendous progress there. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alex. No further announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 139, "You have looked deep down into my heart, O Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working, and from heaven you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and wherever I go. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say." Psalm 139, 1-4. I'd like to welcome Sandra, Howard and Dustin to come up and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Thank you. Our first chorus this morning is one that we did for special music on New Year's Day called You Are Holy out of the Red Book, number 46. So if you would please stand and join us. If you feel uncomfortable with the verse, just join us for the chorus.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Sandra, Howard and Justin for Dustin for leading us into our worship so beautifully in those approach choruses. Shall we bow our heads now and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heart Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have called each of us to be here on this day, in this place, because we come, Lord, to worship you. Each of us, Lord, are thankful that we have heard your voice, no matter how that voice has come to us and called us to be in this place. And what a joy it is to be here, Father. We come in and we are surrounded by your love. Your love just overflows as we are greeted by our friends, by our brothers and sisters in Christ. And your love shines from the faces of those whom you have called here today. And so, gracious Father, we come to worship you. We come to lift high the name of Jesus. We seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every other single name. And so, Father, we pray that you will accept the worship and the praise that we bring. And we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and to open our minds, and that each of us, Lord, in our own way, may hear your voice as you speak to us. Bless us, Father, as we worship. We worship in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Please join me now in the responsive reading, which is Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to me.
How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
So we now come to our celebration of Holy Communion, when each and every person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome to come and join in this celebration of his love for us. And so we begin this celebration of communion by singing our communion hymn, which is 255 in the red. Yeah, 255 in the red. We remember you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee, and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
From Corinthians chapter 11 we read, "The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
Would the elders come and join me, please? Thank you. you that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. want you to make the appropriate response here. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. And this is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Take, drink, and be thankful. We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, for this blessed communion we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood, that we may be made strong in your spirit through Christ our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. When I sat down to do the order of service for today, on the music schedule, I had Bob Bergerson down to do special music, and it seems that he refuses to come back from Arizona to do our special music today. Who can blame him? But thankfully, Sandra sent me an email and said, well, we've been practicing, Dustin and I and Howard, and we could do something. And I thought, wow, that's great. So here they are, to do something, to present our special music. Thank you.
We chose just a very traditional song today, Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you.
It wasn't bad, was it, for a last-minute throw-together? What a great job. Thank you. That was beautiful. And that guy fiddling around at the other side there, what a great job he does, eh? All those little nice pieces. Great job. Thank you. Very nice. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. You fill our lives with so much joy, with so many blessings. And so we come to you now, Father, with these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. We stand now and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 460, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. Children are going out for Sunday school. Gotcha.
Through life as we know.
come to our time of prayer. And I think when we get to Sunday, we've all had a week that's gone by in which we can reflect. And we can think about people who we've met during that week, and we think about situations that we have become aware of. And, well, it's all about people, isn't it? It's all about people. Bob Tribe has been in Red Deer Hospital. You know, Bob's been having trouble with his breathing, and his oxygen's been up and down. And Iris and I went and had a visit with him. And one of the things that strikes us when we go see people is how much they appreciate their church family, how much they appreciate the prayers that are offered on their behalf, and how they can feel the power of prayer. Now, this is talking about people who are within our own church family. But what about other people who we reach out to? What about Kathy's dad? Kathy's dad up in Edmonton, he's in hospital, and I'm sure many of you have been praying for him. And I am equally sure that he will also feel the power of prayer lifting him. What about Joe Lutley's mum? You know, we've been praying for her, and I'm sure the same is apparent, that she will have felt the love and the prayers on her behalf. We think of someone like our oldest member, Alice Francis, who is basically confined to her home. And by her own admission now, she isn't getting any better. She's getting worse, and she suffers a tremendous amount of pain. And, you know, she doesn't get out. And she loves to receive calls from our friends, our church family, phone calls, people stopping by to see her. And I just want to emphasize how much it means to people that someone cares for them enough to pray for them. Someone cares for them enough to phone them, to call on them. You know, and I've mentioned a few there. There's a lot that I haven't mentioned, but you know about them. They're in your mind, they're on your heart, they're in your soul, and they're in your prayers. And God cares so much about all of these people. He knows them all. He knows all of us. And he knows them. Keep on praying for them. Keep praying for them, because what a tremendous amount, what a tremendous power that you have in your prayers. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving and gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity of once again coming and bowing before your throne of grace to present our prayers and our petitions. And we come, Lord, in humility, because we know that we are not worthy to even be in your holy presence, but we also know, Lord, that you desire that we do come to you. And we know, Lord, that you hear the voices of all who turn to you in prayer. We confess, Father, that so very often we face life and all of its complexities as though we were bulletproof, as though we can do it all ourselves. And again, Lord, we find that when we try to do this, we are just not strong enough. But eventually, Father, we get the message that we cannot do life in our own strength. We reflect, Lord, on the past week. And in retrospect, we can now see those moments when we so needed your presence, yet we failed to see you. We failed to rely upon you because all we could see was self. And when we do not see you, Father, it is because our faith fails us. And so we ask you, Lord, to increase our faith, increase our vision of your works and your presence all around us. We thank you again, Lord, for our church, for our church family, and for the joy that we have in the presence of those whom we love, those, Lord, who we know love us. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you reveal your love to us. In smiles, in hugs, in handshakes, in our contacts with all of your people here. Lord, we pray that you will help each of us as we seek to reach out beyond these walls to share the light of your love with those, and especially those who walk in darkness. Lord, bless our homes. Bless our families. May your love abide amongst us, and may your peace rest upon us. And we ask you, Father, to look with compassion upon all whom we know who suffer in any way. And each of us, Lord, know of individual situations, individual needs, friends, family, and acquaintances. We can see them, Father. We can see them in our mind's eye. And now, Lord Jesus, before your throne of grace, we whisper their names. Almighty God, as we bow before you at this time in prayer, we acknowledge that you see us, the real us, us as we really are. We cannot deceive you, Father. You know the problems that each of us face. You know the burdens that weigh us down. Father, may we again clearly hear your voice. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord God, we ask you to grant us your rest and the peace of your presence as we offer our prayers in the name of he who died, that we might have life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning. The gospel this morning comes from first chapter in John, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, and Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything come from there?" Nathanael had asked. "Come and see," Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And the epistle this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. This is concerning spiritual gifts. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Thanks to Dan for those readings from the scriptures. We appreciate it, Dan. Thank you. And now we stand again and sing to the glory of God. The hymn 375, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult. I'm just going to move this in case I get excited and start throwing my arms around him. And just before I start my message, I just want to also say a thank you to Peggy here. Every week she presents music for us. And because of the way the offertory works out, I go straight into prayer and I don't get the chance to say thank you to Peggy, but she plays some beautiful pieces for us, doesn't she? Thank you, Peggy. Good stuff every week. Thank you so much. And I also appreciate Kathy coming up here and leading the singing, because if she's not up here leading the singing, for whatever reason, I notice the difference, and I'm sure you do as well. Because when we have someone to lead us, then we are led, and we are happy to be led, and we are happy to put our heads back and sing out. We appreciate it, Kathy. Thank you. And Daniel for reading this. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel reading from the first chapter of St. John's Gospel tells of the encounter that took place when the newly recruited disciple Philip took his friend Nathanael to see Jesus. Now, first of all, we need to establish just who Nathanael is. Because, remember, he was amongst the first to be called to come and see Jesus. And he immediately acknowledges Jesus as Son of God, King of Israel. Yet after that, he's barely spoken of. We barely hear anything about him. It is generally accepted that Nathanael is one and the same person as the apostle Bartholomew. Interestingly, the first comment that Nathanael makes to his friend Philip, you know, remember Philip tells him to come and see, is a bit sharp and a bit sarcastic. Philip says to Nathanael, "We have found the one who Moses wrote about in the law." He's talking about the Messiah, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael's immediate response was, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Can anything good come from there?" And to try to get some kind of an understanding to Nathanael's comments, we need to know that Nathanael's hometown was Cana in Galilee. And not very far away from there is Nazareth of Galilee, where Jesus grew up. So you can see they're only about 10 miles apart. And what we are hearing from Nathanael is probably nothing more than small town rivalry. You know how the towns that are close together, and Nazareth, can anything good come out of that place? And that's probably what we're hearing there. But what really caught my interest was Nathanael's comment after just a short conversation with Jesus, when he said to Jesus, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" Nathanael had already detected from that conversation that Jesus knew him. He knew all about him. "How do you know me?" Now, what Nathanael did not know was that Jesus is God. And God is omniscient, which means that God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. Jesus once taught us that the Father's knowledge is so total that he knows when a single bird falls from the sky. And he knows the number of hairs that you have on your head, or in some cases, have not. But this is just an indication of how thoroughly and how well the Lord Jesus Christ knows each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." In the book of Job, chapter 34 and verse 21, we read, "God's eye is on the way of mortals. He sees their every step. There is no deep shadow, no utter darkness where evildoers can hide." And in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6 and verse 8, Jesus tells us that his knowledge of us is so perfect that he knows all of our needs, even before we ask of him. King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, was very much aware of how personally and completely God knew him, and especially when he wrote that Psalm 139. He says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know what I do from far away, and even what I am thinking about. You see whether I am resting or working, when I rise up and when I sit down. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Your knowledge of me is overwhelming. It is too deep for me to understand." Wow. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything about you. And Nathanael was not the first to be impressed by the knowledge that Jesus had. St. Luke tells us what happened when Jesus was only 12 years old. He went with his parents to the temple at Jerusalem. And there was a great big party of them. And when they returned home, they found that within that great big party was not Jesus. He wasn't there. They found him back at Jerusalem in the temple in deep discussion with the teachers. And he'd been there for 3 days. And we read, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Jesus knows everything. Jesus is God. When he was in Samaria, he was thirsty. So he sat down by the well and waited for someone to come and get him a drink out of that well. And presently we read that the Samaritan woman came to the well, and she was the real reason why Jesus was at the well in the first place. And against all protocol, they had a conversation. A Jew and a Samaritan woman. And Jesus talked to her and he asked her questions about her personal life. But the questions were asked in such a way that she knew that Jesus already knew the answers. And because of his intimate knowledge of her, she believed in him. And she confessed to her neighbors, he told me everything that I ever did. He told me everything that I ever did. And because of his knowledge and his conversation with this woman, many more became believers. The Pharisees were regularly battling with Jesus, and they were regularly frustrated in their confrontations with Jesus because he always knew what they were thinking. Matthew 12:25 tells us Jesus knew their thoughts. Matthew 22:18 says, but Jesus, knowing their evil intent, and all of Jesus' disciples, in their last few hours before Jesus was arrested, they confessed, now we can see that you know all things, and this makes us believe that you came from God. Now when you think about this fact that Jesus knows everything about us, and you kind of think, well, this can either be good news or bad news. You get to decide what it is. It's good news if we can look at God's omniscience, his knowledge of everything about us, and be comforted by the fact, because we know that he provides for us and he'll take care for us and he'll watch out over us and he'll just love us like anything. But it's bad news if we try to hide ourselves and our deeds from God. Adam and Eve decided that it was bad news for them because they had disobeyed God. God knows everything and God knew about their sin. And they tried to run away from God and they tried to hide from God. But they discovered that you cannot hide from God. No one. And just like Adam and Eve, many people still try to pretend that God does not know everything. And they try to hide things about themselves from him. The Pharisees believed that they could hide their hypocrisy and their wickedness from God. And they hated Jesus because he showed them over and over again that there is no hiding place from God. God, Jesus, knows everything. And most of the people today who show great hostility towards God and to his church are in this position. Deep down, they know that God is real. And they're trying to run away. And they are hiding from God. But Jesus knows everything about all things and about all people. And we find in the Bible that those people who go on to lead healthy, good and new lives are those who acknowledge the omniscience of Jesus, those who accept the fact that Jesus does know everything. He knows all about them. He knows all about their past, sinful things, good things, bad things. Yet despite everything, he accepts them. He accepts us. And in our repentance, he forgives us. He loves us so much. He wants us. He wants us with him. And so in the scriptures, we've got countless examples of sinners. They get called tax collectors in here. Some people still call them that today. Tax extortionists they were. And we hear about other kinds of sinners, about prostitutes. And we hear about Jesus' own disciples, who also failed him in many different ways, just like we do. But they were forgiven because they acknowledged their sins and they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew about everything anyway, to forgive them. Before Jesus called his disciples, he knew all about them. He knew about their weaknesses of Peter and James and John and Judas. Yet he still called them to be his disciples. He knows you. He knows all about you. And as Jesus hung on the cross of crucifixion, and he suffered that awful, painful death, he knew all about the sins of those who were crucified on either side of him. One was bitter and scathing in his words. He was the one running away from God. But the other confessed his worthlessness and his request, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," gained for him the promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, he not only knows all about us, but he is the only one who knows about heaven. Only Jesus can make the promise to anyone, "You will be with me in paradise." Only Jesus can make that promise. And only Jesus knows the way to heaven. "I am the way," Jesus says. And he further tells us, "No one comes to the Father except by me." Many years ago, there was a chilling radio drama which Peter told me all about. And it was called The Shadow. And it always began with the words, apparently, "Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Only the shadow knows." And I could end my message today by telling you that I will now reveal to you the true identity of the shadow. But I think you already know that. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, we stand and first of all we sing "To the Glory of God," the hymn 439, "Cleanse Me." Sorry, Kathy, I caused chaos over there.
Thank you.
312 to be God's feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.